up to you and me to shine a guiding light and lead the way. United by our cause, we have the power to pursue what we believe. We'll achieve the realization of our dreams.
Hello there, Vaughan Bennison bringing you this week's edition of New Horizons. Thanks for your company. New Horizons is the weekly program from Blind Citizens Australia. Blind Citizens Australia is the united voice of blind and vision impaired Australians, seeking equality and access for all, regardless of whether they are blind or vision impaired. Blind Citizens Australia in the main is made up of people who are blind and vision impaired, and it has over 3,000 members across Australia. It also has a board of management and a staff, which are mostly made up of blind and vision impaired people. If you'd like to know more about BCA, get in touch with the office on 1-800-033-660. That's 1-800-033-660. We'll give that number again at the end of the program. This week, there's been some movement in terms of the Albert terminal, which Ricky and I briefly touched on a couple of weeks ago. Albert is the new EFTPOS terminal, or electronic banking terminal, which has been released by the Commonwealth Bank in recent years, and it's been copping some flack regarding accessibility. When I was at the conference for the Roundtable on Information Access for People with a Print Disability in May this year, I was very pleased to hear Bruce Maguire speaking about the history and developments in touchscreens. We'll be bringing you an edited version of that talk over the next two programs. So let's get started as Bruce gives us a rundown of some of the changes in technology in the last 50 years.
I was home from school sick the day that Neil Armstrong walked on the moon in July 1969. Now, it's no fun being sick. And of course, it's beyond devastating to be home from school. But I managed as best I could, and it did mean that I was able to record the entire moon landing and moonwalk on my 7-inch reel-to-reel. Now, I realise that if you're in Generation Y or later, you may never have heard of a reel-to-reel tape recorder. But back in the late 60s, it was a cool piece of technology to own because you could record in audio all the important moments in your life, which is what I was doing while I was homesick from school on that July Monday almost 47 years ago. A much lesser known event that occurred in 1969 was the release of a small book called Prayer for the 70s by Norman Corwin. Eddie Albert recorded it, and you could buy it on a 7-inch 45. Now, of course, vinyl records were everywhere in the 1960s, and the 7-inch ones that spun at 45 revolutions per minute were affectionately known as 45s. And because the record companies could record one song on each side, they were usually called singles. So on the 7-inch single of Prayer for the 70s, Eddie Albert spoke of how ancient miracles had been, in quotes, trumped by solemn science. Daily, the patent office registers intenser magic than the burning bush. The serpent from the rod becomes a ruby laser. The leper is healed by mycens. The blind draws vision from an eye bank. End of quote. And there was back then an abiding sense that if we couldn't all follow Neil Armstrong and walk on the moon, then we could all at least walk on the summit of the technological mountain. Because we had reached the pinnacle of technological achievement immersed in our tape recorders and our 45s. It's rather awesome, I think, in every sense of the word, to reflect that much of the technology that we thought of as cutting edge and took for granted back in the 60s is now virtually unheard of and unknown by anyone born after about 1985. And conversely, much of the technology that we now take for granted was not even imagined by most people 40 or so years ago. Certainly as a blind kid, I never imagined that technological developments would one day threaten to throttle my participation in the world. If someone had said there are going to be these things called touch screens and they'll be everywhere and they're going to replace buttons and knobs and dials, I would probably have thought, wow, how groovy, I'll be able to use them. Touch is something I can do as a blind person. And someone might just have said that to me back in the 60s because the touchscreen is actually a product of the 60s. And the accessibility issues associated with touchscreens may even have been foreseen back then by the visionaries and the blind community. In October 1965, E.A. Johnson wrote a short article called Touch Display, a Novel Input-Output Device for Computers. And in the article, he described a touch screen that he'd invented based on a mechanism that's still used in many smartphones and other devices today. A touch screen is a type of electronic display that senses physical touch by a person's hand or fingers or by devices such as a stylus and then performs actions based on the location of the touch as well as the number of touches. There are basically three types of touch screen, known as resistive, capacitive and surface acoustic wave. The differences between them are in the mechanisms that are used for recognising where the screen has been touched so that the device can respond appropriately, you know, for example, by displaying a number or recognising text input or whatever it's been programmed to do. The capacitive touchscreen is actually what Eric Johnson invented in 1965 and is still used in many devices today, such as high-end smartphones. So the 1960s live on, even though we don't buy singles anymore or record our lives on reel-to-reel tape. Touchscreen technology is no more inherently inaccessible to people who are blind or have low vision than other visual display technologies. What I mean by that is that unless audio or braille interfaces are added, touchscreens are not accessible. But neither are other types of visual displays, such as computer monitors or LCD panels on appliances like microwave ovens. Once the computer has calculated the point where the screen was touched, it can equally provide audio feedback as visual feedback, and it can pre-assign a certain region of the touchscreen to turn audio feedback on when you touch it. It's all in the programming, not the underlying technology. Touchscreens are inaccessible to the extent, and only to the extent, that humans program them to be. What has happened recently, though, is that we've reached a sort of tipping point. Touchscreens have begun to proliferate at an unprecedented rate, and that trend will only escalate. If we continue to banish touchscreen accessibility to the backwaters of our advocacy and policy making, then increasingly those of us who are blind or have low vision will be locked out of participating in the mainstream. Now, I own 15 coffee machines. From a stainless steel plunger to a 1950s Pyrex stovetop percolator to an electronic coffee siphon to an espresso machine with a double boiler and a ferocious steam wand to a My Prissy Twist that's powered by small gas cartridges. Early last year, I decided to replace my 2008 Nespresso machine with the latest model. So in January last year, I paid a visit to one of the Nespresso shops in Sydney. They actually call them boutiques. So the manager greeted me and offered to give me a tour of the various machines in the shop. I'm in the boutique. After showing me a couple of the basic models that had tactile buttons and were easy to use, she took me over to another part of the shop and said, "You'll love this one. You can choose from three different coffee strengths, or you can program your own, and you can program the amount of milk you want when making a cappuccino. It's got everything." Right. So I felt around the machine and I said, "But where are the buttons to do all those things?" "Well, that's the great thing about this machine, she said, "Toby. There are no buttons. You just use the touch screen here and you just touch the option you want." "But how am I going to know where to touch the screen when I can't see it and there are no buttons?" I said. There was a pause in the conversation. The shop manager was experiencing a moment of profound revelation about our society's reliance on vision. Well, I was experiencing a yet another man-made accessibility barrier moment. Eventually, she said brightly, "Whatever, mind, we still have machines with buttons." That was almost 18 months ago. I know you can still get Nespresso machines with buttons, but there probably aren't as many as there were before. And this time next year, there probably won't be as many as there are now. The trend in household appliances is to replace buttons and knobs and dials with touchscreens. There have actually been touchscreen-controlled coffee machines available since 2008, and now there are at least six well-known manufacturers that use touchscreens on their top models. The amplifier that's part of my hi-fi system has a touchscreen, and I can only use it because it also has a remote control with buttons. The remote control doesn't provide access to certain functions, though, so I can't interact with the amp settings at all. If I replace my electric treadmill, I'd have to look carefully to find a model that didn't have a touchscreen. But there is a small dry cleaning boutique in walking distance of where I live. They have a lockable box on the outside of the shop so you can collect your clothes after the shop is closed. You unlock the box by entering a PIN, which is the last four digits of your mobile phone number. The keypad for entering the PIN is on a touchscreen. It's completely inaccessible if you can't see it. So if I want to collect my dry cleaning the same day I drop it off, I have to stay home until it's ready. I know it's ready because they send me a text message. I read the text message on my iPhone, which also has a touchscreen. The difference between the dry cleaning box and the iPhone is that Apple have made the iPhone's touchscreen substantially accessible, whereas the manufacturers of the box haven't. Apple showed in 2009 that touchscreens can be made accessible out of the box, but I still can't get my dry cleaning out of the box. Now, that was true in 2013, and that's just as true 3 years later, and I imagine that there are more of those touchscreen-controlled lockable boxes now than there were 3 years ago, just as there are more touchscreen-controlled information kiosks, coffee machines, treadmills, hi-fi systems, printers, modems, and other devices, and they're all of them still inaccessible. Because that's the way they've been programmed. Now, I mentioned earlier that touchscreens are only as inaccessible as human programmers designed them to be, and in 2009, Apple released the iPhone 3GS with the voiceover screen reader, which provided a way for people who are blind to access the phone's touchscreen. Since then, Apple have continued to provide non-visual synthetic speech and braille access to its products, and they include the iPad, the Apple Watch, and the Apple TV. Google and other companies have also provided non-visual access to tablets and smartphones and on the Android operating system. And in March this year, two Braille note takers were released that use touchscreen-based Android tablets.
Bruce Maguire there, who's a lead policy officer with Vision Australia, speaking at the conference of the Roundtable on Information Access for People with a Print Disability in May this year. I'll bring you the second part of that talk next week when he specifically discusses Albert. BCA's put out a media release regarding Albert. If you'd like to see that, it'll be available on their website, www.bca.org.au. Blind Citizens Australia can be contacted by email on bca@bca.org.au or by telephone on 1800 033 660. I'm Vaughan Bennison. It's been a pleasure to have your company on New Horizons this week. Do take care. Until next week.
We'll achieve the realization of a dream. Of our dreams.